I listen to the black guy who tips because Rod and Karen are so hot.
It is a struggle, for though the black man fights passively, he nevertheless fights, and his passive resistance is more effective at present than active resistance could possibly be. He bears the fury of the storm as does the willow tree. It is a struggle, for though the white man of the South may be too proud to admit it, he is nevertheless using in the contest his best energies. He is devoting to it the greater part of his thought and much of his endeavor. The South today stands panting and almost breathless from its exhortations. And how the scene of the struggle has shifted. The battle was first waged over the right of the Negro to be classed as a human being with a soul. Later, as to whether he had sufficient intellect to master even the rudiments of learning. And today it is being fought out over his social recognition. Hey, welcome to the Blackout Tips podcast. Your host Rod and
Karen.
And we're live on a Monday.
Mm-hmm.
Ready to do some podcasting. Find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Podomatic. Search the Black Guy Who Tips. Leave us 5-star reviews. We appreciate those. The official weapon of the show is
a taser,
an unofficial sport,
bullet ball,
and bullet ball extreme. And today's excerpt is from the autobiography of an ex-colored man by James Weldon Johnson. And I just thought that was interesting because today before we got on the air, I was watching a little bit of the NASCAR race they were doing because it got postponed yesterday because it was raining.
Okay.
And then they did the race today. But over the weekend, Bubba, I want to say his name is Wallace, Bubba Wallace, the black NASCAR driver, someone put a noose in his locker room, in his locker.
That's why his name and stuff is trending, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, and so, you know, he came out and said a statement basically saying he's not scared, he's not going to be afraid of this. People, of course, were saying, this is just like Justice Smollett and all this shit, which I hope not, and I don't think it doesn't sound like it. Then... to start the race, there was these people behind, like when you drive your car out to the track or whatever to start the race, there was all these people from NASCAR just walking behind this car at a show of solidarity, you know. And I really did think, oh, that's cool, you know. This moment feels a lot different than moments before.
Yes.
I don't know if it'll continue to be different, but I can't imagine that happening just even a couple years ago.
Mm-mm.
He would have been on his own just because white people have basically been looking at shit like, I'm not trying to get involved.
Nope.
You know, I didn't put the noose in his locker. I'm not saying I'm pro Black Lives Matter or not, right. But you know, this ain't got nothing to do with me.
Yeah, I don't want to make a quote unquote statement.
Right. And so all those people walking behind his car, that felt powerful. He was like crying real tears. Like it's kind of like the Jussie Smollett thing to me too. I was like, well, if he's lying, it'll come out, and then I'll just rather be like, well, I guess he fooled me, rather than to be like, oh my god, this nigga lying. I knew it, y'all.
I don't think he's
lying. Yeah, I don't think he is either. But the thing is, NASCAR is operating with like half staff right now because of coronavirus. Everyone in that goes in that area must have credentials and all this stuff, so
it's somebody internally within,
yeah.
Somebody had access.
Right. And so hopefully they get to the bottom of it. We'll find out who did it, whose it is, you know, maybe another driver, a crew member. You know, I encourage you to watch the Willie T. Ribbs documentary on Netflix if y'all get a chance. If you want to see racing and racism come head to head, he was a black driver. He drove in all sorts of, like, he drove in NASCAR for a little bit. He drove in the Formula Racing, the F1 people. Like, he was an amazing racer, but he was black. And so he had to deal with all the things that came from that. Lack of sponsorship, lack of support, you know, double standards when it came to the rules. You know, back in NASCAR days, you could fight after the race, somebody cut it. That was part of racing.
Mm-hmm. They kind of, I don't know if they actually banned it or not, but I know you used to watch NASCAR, somebody hit somebody, and next thing you know, they're in the middle of the circle taking off helmets and at each other's throats.
Right. And so, you know, it's a good documentary, especially when you want to talk about today, you know. The other thing I noticed too is before the race, you know, fans can't really attend right now. So on the way to the track, and someone even paid a plane to fly over the track with a Confederate flag because the Confederate flag was banned from the race.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's lots of vendors selling Confederate flags on the way to the race now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people proudly displaying their flags, you know, tailgating or whatever they do before the race. And it reminded me of this passage. I mean, this obviously was written, you know, near the early part of the 1900s, but it just says something that he's like, that, and of course this is a fictionalized narrative, but lots of truth in it, but him saying that the struggle for black people is passive resistance.
Yes.
Because it kind of has to be.
Of course.
You know, even when people are talking about burning down targets and shit like that, that's still, to me, somewhat of a passive resistance, because yes, black people aren't running up in white neighborhoods and just killing motherfuckers.
No, they're not.
You know, there's never going to be an equivalent to Tulsa Massacre for white people, you know, where white people was minding their business and black people just went and said, fuck them, we're going to kill everybody to prove a point.
There'll never be an equivalent to Black Wall Street. We don't run right up there and just burn down the whole fucking community and then trap them and shoot everybody that tries to leave.
Mm-hmm. So, So the thing that I think always kind of gets glossed over is the second part is his discussion is when he says it is a struggle, for though the white man of the South may be too proud to admit it, he is nevertheless using in the contest his best energies. He is devoting to it the greater part of his thought and much of his endeavor. The South today stands panting and almost breathless from his exertions. And that is the part that I think the effort of whiteness and white supremacy, like the effort it takes out of just even white people trying to live their lives and shit, but they need to have their, you know, their foot on our backs. Like that takes great effort from us basically refusing to bend, weathering the storm like that willow tree, and them using all these, you know, taking all this time to try to, you know, stop us from voting, yeah, to imprison us, to stop us from buying houses, to come up with new schemes. Like it takes a lot of their time to keep us down. Everyone would be better for it if they would leave the shit alone.
Ooh, excuse me.
Like their lives would be more fulfilled, they'd have more energy and effort, and we would too.
Yes, more shit would get accomplished. You know, you know how we see like videos and like movies and shit about flying cars. We could actually get that shit done if so many people didn't waste their time and effort oppressing other people. Do you know how much free time white people would have, like in mass, if they would just leave us the fuck alone? Because that's all we want. I don't think they understand the demand is just leave me alone. I just want to be able to walk around the street and not be shot. I don't want to be racially profiled. I just don't want to be over policed or under policed. I want to be policed just right. You know, it's things that we just accept that are always going to be here. That's fine. All we ask is that we have the right to just live. And they hear that as, how dare you demand that I give you the right to live? How dare you demand that you be equal to me? Because as far as they're concerned, there's never equal. So instead of them taking their effort and pouring it into something more positive and solving all these other things that can actually be solved, they'll rather take the effort and pour it into us, because this is the only thing for some white people to keep them distracted, truth be told, for how fucked up their lives are.
And think about this too, the amount of time and resources that have just been wasted on being racist. Racism is not a logical thing as far as making money and sense. That's why when people talk about voting in your best interest and shit, I'm always like, none of that matters to them, because their best interest to them is racism. White supremacy is the interest.
Yes, it's irrational and illogical. I will keep saying that. It's irrational and illogical. Because racism will pick whatever makes whiteness look good. We lose money, fuck it. We lose sponsors, fuck it. Somebody dies, fuck it. Even if my own family members die, even if I die in the process, I don't care. As far as I'm concerned, whiteness wins, and that's the bottom line. So for anybody else, you'd be like, well, that don't make no sense, because you're losing money. In their mind, it makes sense, because it's whiteness over everything.
NASCAR had a Black Lives Matter moment, right? Bubba Watson came out and said, hey, Black Lives Matter. He wore a shirt, took a knee. Many of the people had a moment of silence for George Floyd. They all did various, you know, like whether it was take a knee, moment of silence, stand, whatever. They had a Black Lives Matter car for 1 week. I think it's just 1 week. I don't think he's doing it again this week. So that was their response, right? Black lives matter. Not black lives better than, not only black lives matter, not no one else's life doesn't matter, just black lives matter. Black people would like for their lives to matter. We have submitted a plea. We have added the paperwork. The response to this Black Lives Matter moment was, one, a Blue Lives Matter car, which, what does that mean?
Right.
You choose to become a police officer, you're born black.
Right, and the thing about the Blue Lives Matter shit, y'all ain't never know where when shit goes down. A lot of people that are about Black Lives Matter, Black Lives do matter, but a lot of them also care and concern and stand up for other groups of people outside of black people, but that's the shit that nobody wants to hear, and nobody wants, because they hear only like this. So as far as they're concerned, they're like y'all and nobody else, but that's not the truth.
Well, white people's perception just totally different, their experience totally different. The shirt might as well say black lives better than white lives to them,
right, because they yeah. hear only, that's all yeah. they hear.
Well, you're born in a white supremacist society, and the only times that you say white power, the only times that you say white lives matter, the only time that you say white supremacy or whatever, is always in a suppression of other people. You can't possibly relate to other people who are oppressed saying, hey, we just want equal footing at the table, we want an equal seat, we want a place on the at the table. And you can't even relate to it because you have always said those same things, but they meant something totally different, which was, we want the whole fucking table. No one considered our table.
Nobody.
So the second thing is the resurgence of the Confederate flag. Now, what does it say that your response to Black Lives Matter is, one, in support of the Black Lives Matter, we're going to take down the Confederate flag. Two, in retaliation to Black Lives Mattering, the fans are bringing the flags and flying them over the stadium and lining up on the roadway to the track and all this stuff. What does it say that that flag must mean? In that it is an opposite statement to Black Lives Matter. Your flag is literally saying black lives do not matter. It is not saying this is for the heritage of my fathers. It is not saying this is for the sacrifice of the war. It is not saying any, like, this is respect for the veterans. This is just how we have a good time down the South. It is not saying that. You are stripping away the lie of the image. You know, you're stripping away the mythology you surrounded yourself into, to the bare essence of what the flag must stand for. Because if it is a direct argument against something as simple as NASCAR and Bubba Wallace, if the flag is coming out at the same time that the noose is coming out, then how can you possibly say that that flag isn't anything but a noose?
Butterfly in the sky, I can go twice as high. Take a look, it's in a book, a reading rainbow. I can go anywhere. Friends to know and ways to grow, a reading rainbow. I can be anything. Take a look, it's in a book, a reading rainbow, a reading rainbow.
All right. I guess the first thing to do is need to get paid. That's right, y'all. Okay, Adam and Eve is in the house. Mm-hmm. Why is it in the house? Because your ass in the house.
You ought to be.
You need to be in the house is what I'm trying to say. Adam and Eve is trying to spice up your home. Like, they're trying to help you enjoy the best part of staying at home, which is playing at home. Take advantage of the downtime and choose almost any item at 50% off. And when you do, you'll also get free shipping delivered discreetly right to your door. You don't got to go to one of these porno shops and worry about getting that coronavirus from all that breathing that's going on in them back rooms and them booths.
Come on.
Because you know they breathing.
Hard, too.
Hard, okay? You don't have to worry about that. You don't have to worry about somebody that may or may not been social distancing coming down your house and trying to, you know, get that slack-a-belly all over you. You don't have to worry about that. No.
Mm-mm. Yeah, because you know where your hands have been. You don't know if they wash their hands or not.
They giving you half off of any item. Just go and put in offer code TBGWT at the checkout, and they gonna hook you up, okay? They gonna give you half off. It's gonna get free shipping. It's gonna come right to your door. It's gonna be wrapped up discreetly. It's not gonna be shaped like a dildo or whatever you bought, okay? It's not. It doesn't come in the shape of the sex swing, okay? It comes in a box. So, you know, we want you to make being at home a pleasure, okay? Make yourself reframe your mind around being at home. Where you like, you know what? I don't mind being at home. It's just me and my genitals and my loved ones all up in here. This is a great place to be. That's how I want y'all to feel.
Yes, sir.
So, yeah, make sure you guys go to adamandeve.com. Get you some lube, okay? Get you some condoms if that's what you need, okay? Get you some sexy lingerie, some movies, half off. It's on us, TBGWT, free shipping, everything. All right, y'all. Thank you. Let's go into the, coronavirus news. I guess we should do that. That's still going on. Mm-hmm. I don't know why everybody act like they forgot.
They act like because they over it. Coronavirus said I'm over it too, but it don't work like that. You said right. You over it. Coronavirus be like, hey, I never said stop.
Today's song is from Coronavirus on the album Coronavirus, brought to you by She Bussin, Not Your Cousin. About coronavirus.
Mm-mm. It seems like the further we get down the list, the less and less is actually about coronavirus.
No, I need that cool trying to finish. Engine Pioneer 350, drinking souvenirs and more. Chop at your dough, just like NLE. Bitch smoking on the strong, all these niggas weak. Grinding, got these niggas thinking that this shit is sweet. Ain't no Kool-Aid, now this shit is sweet. Ain't no sugar at all, ain't no sugar involved. Get these vaccines, I'm going retard. Yeah, I don't think this is about coronavirus at all.
You get 25 points just for the cough, but this has nothing to do with coronavirus.
Yeah, this is pretty terrible.
This is not good.
It's not a very good song either.
No, it is not.
All right, coronavirus. Are you guys using a lot of hand sanitizer? I see people talking about that a lot lately. Use hand sanitizer, take it with you, bring it in your car.
Because you can't wash your hands.
Well, it turns out that some of this hand sanitizer is not safe to use. And the FDA is warning you about 9 toxic hand sanitizers. They say they got too much methanol in them.
Oh, so they all not made the same? They don't have a hand sanitizer standard?
I don't know. Maybe some people put some extra methanol in some of them. You can get methanol poisoning from them.
Oh, that's not good.
The symptoms include nausea, vomiting, headache, blurred vision, permanent blindness, and seizures, and it could lead to coma.
Well, damn, just use soap and water. It ain't worth it.
Damage the nervous system and death.
No, thank you. Just get some hand wipes and soap and water.
All clearing hand sanitizer. Esk Biochem hand sanitizer. Clean Care No Germ Advanced Hand Sanitizer 75% alcohol. Lavar 70 gel hand sanitizer. Now you should have known the one
that must have that sound.
Where they sell that at?
Like the black one.
The dollar store? Where you get that from? Sally's Beauty Supply?
Yo, apparently so.
Lavar. Is that they got that one locked up behind the glass at Walmart with the black haircut products.
You know they do.
Let me get that Lavar hand sanitizer. Is it LeVar Ball? Is that what it is? Big ball of hand sanitizer?
Probably is. Come with
no,
the
that shoes. Shit ain't regulated.
You know it ain't.
You get that shit 3 years later after you order it. The Good Gel.
Be expired and shit.
The Good Gel Antibacterial Gel Hand Sanitizer. Clean Care No Germ Advance. Clean Care No Germ Advance. And Clean Care No Germ Advance. And those are like 80%, 75%, 80%. And then Saniderm Advanced Hand Sanitizer. So if you're using those, you might want to, you know, you might want to chill out.
No, just no. Just get some good wipes. They got wipes that, you know, are portable, you could take with you, that are probably a lot better for you. And wash your hands, people.
In Minnesota, the protest actually did, the ones for George Floyd have not led to an increase in coronavirus cases by percentage.
Oh, that's good.
People, it's still like the same percentage as the regular population before. People were using masks, right. There was social distancing, they were outside. Mm-hmm. And those seem to be major factors in that. So I think that's pretty dope.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Ricketts tells local governments they won't get federal COVID-19 money if they don't require if they do require a mask. Yeah, you heard me right. Governor Pete Ricketts made a point of urging Nebraskans to wear a mask when they go to the store at his regular press conference, mm-hmm. right? But when it comes to the state's 93 courthouses and other county offices, he doesn't want local officials to require a mask. In fact, he told counties that they won't receive any of the $100 million in federal COVID-19 money if their customers are required to wear a mask.
Mm-hmm. So he want to be safer. Fuck them though, right?
Well, he says be safe at the stores and stuff, but then when it comes to public buildings, federal buildings or whatever, state buildings, he's saying no, you can't mandate that people wear a mask.
But it's a federal building,
right? It's one of the few places where you would be able to mandate mask wearing, unlike a store or something like that.
Correct.
And people would probably just accept it because it's a government facility,
right?
It's not like people go there for fun, you know, whatever. And yeah, he says no, if you do that, they won't send you money for a COVID-19 relief.
People are ass backwards. Do people not understand how this disease is spread?
I'm telling you, the second that they made this a political thing of Republicans versus Democrats and Trump versus everyone else, it was over. There are people in this country that are so stupid and so beholden to whiteness that they identify whiteness with Donald Trump because Donald Trump is the first white president. And if you don't understand the reference, go read Ta-Nehisi Coates' First White President. It's about Trump. It's a long read, but it's really good. But the point, to streamline it, he's saying the only thing about Trump is that he's white. He's a horrible businessman. He's never held government office before. He lies. He has all types of weird sexual proclivities. He cheats on his wife. He's been accused of sexual assault multiple times. He's a criminal, all this different stuff. He's not even rich. He's broke. But the one thing he can rely on and his fans support is that he is white and he believes whiteness over everything. And because that is the cult-like mentality around him, these motherfuckers really don't have a problem dying for him. Like, some people did come out to his stupid ass rally. Like, it's like it wasn't the numbers that they thought they would get, but even the numbers they got to me is, in these times, is crazy. Joe Biden would never get those numbers, not because people don't support him or like him, blah blah blah. He wouldn't get those numbers because the people who vote Democrat aren't fucking anti-science,
Right.
They're gonna, like, even if you held a rally with Joe Biden, it's gonna be people saying 6 feet apart, mask on, outside, like a bunch of shit that's not gonna look as great as, you know, the optics of a rally to normally look. And kind of defeating the whole purpose. But the point being, they are so tied to white supremacy, they knew they were risking their lives sitting fucking 2 feet from each other, clapping, no mask, breathing on each other. They did not care.
No, they did not.
And that trickles down to the Republican Party, is my point.
Yes.
So this governor or whatever, talking about, or, you know, these governors that think that it's some type of philosophical point of not wearing a mask, that is a direct result of who's running the country and a Republican Party that's been anti-science for 50, 60, 70 years.
Yeah, how can a mask be a statement? It's right. Actually saving lives. Because the thing is, the mask protects both parties. It protects you from me and me from you. But for some reason, people feel like I don't care about other people. Like,
if it worked, and I'm convinced of this, if people found out that the mask worked the other way, that if you had a mask on, you couldn't get it, everyone would have a fucking mask in America. What happened is the mask doesn't necessarily protect you from each other unless you both wear a mask.
Correct.
And so if I don't wear a mask and you do, you still can get it. If you wear a mask and I don't, if I wear a mask and you don't, but I have it, I could still potentially give it to you.
Mm-hmm.
But if we both wear a mask, it's a very minimal chance we give each other, especially if we practice social distance, especially if we're outside, blah, 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 right?
Mm-hmm.
That means I'm technically wearing my mask for empathy for another person.
Mm-hmm.
Cause it's not really truly benefiting me. It doesn't make me necessarily safe unless other people participate.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's all it took for people to be like, I'm not doing that. It's America. I'm not doing it. I don't care about other people.
No.
Now, if there was a type of mask where I knew I couldn't get it 100% of the time,
people would
that shit would sell out in a day. Everyone would have it. I remember when they first brought up the mask, you couldn't stop Americans from buying the mask.
They sold out. They sold out
of the mask.
Hospitals was like, hey, we need this for the shit we do for the hospitals.
Yeah, and now you probably have all these people that have bought masks and now going, oh, fuck it, I don't want it now. You know, it's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And turns out that the mask is really where the real protection we need, because like I said, since we started covering this shit, this is a moving situation. More science will come out. You want to do the things that you're told to do, but you also want to keep your ear to the ground for what's coming up. And it looks like the real way it's spreading is these situations where you're in an enclosed space, you're close to people, no one's wearing masks, and you're in there for a long time. These are the three things that are fucking making sure you will get COVID. Everyone gets COVID and gets coronavirus, and yet somehow people are just like, if I'm washing my hands, I'm good.
Yeah, and it don't actually work like that. And I think the thing is, they keep coming out with studies that, like you said, that say, hey, if 90% or 80% of people wore it, the numbers would drop, like, almost immediately. Mm-hmm. And people going, fuck it, I'd rather go to spring break, I'd rather go to brunch, I'd rather go to the bar, I'd rather do these things, I'd rather have school in session, you know, I'd rather have professional sports come back, I'd rather have these things than for the safety of the mass at whole, because as far as I'm concerned, nobody in me and my family is directly impacted. And even if it's something that they did to get it. And even if I catch it, there are people that have caught it and still turn around and be like, fuck it. So it's one of those things where for me, it becomes very frustrating, because it damages your body even if you're asymptomatic. Like, if you catch it, you will be affected forever. And it's very frustrating, because we have administration that doesn't care, we have government that doesn't care, and governors that don't care. And so, like I said yesterday, I don't want to be like people in Italy, where everything shut down and the hospitals was full and people were just dying left and right. I remember reading these articles where people was like, my family member died in my home, we don't know what to do, won't nobody take the body, we can't bury them. I don't want that to happen, but we're so stupid and dumb and ignorant that's where it is going here in America. And then people would take it seriously, but by then it would be to the point to where it might not be reversible.
Yeah, and I think we're headed there. Some of these states with Republican governors are definitely headed there faster than everybody else. But the thing you got to remember, this is not a place with borders.
Right.
This is not a place where the only place to get the somewhere is like through some type of plane or something where they can regulate it. You can drive across to another state and give it to everybody there. You go to one of these super spreader events, you know, you drive from North Carolina into Tulsa so you can support your president, and you come back with coronavirus, that's going into your home state. So, you know, and speaking of which, Trump fans said we're healthy and strong and young. Trump rally attendees say they're not worried about COVID-19.
I know they not.
Yeah.
Because you showed up. Like, guarantee you people did the tickets, bought tickets for support, but they didn't take their asses. I think you said that they didn't take their asses out there because I was like, I don't want the shit. I'll get the tickets, but I'm not going.
Well, there's a couple moving parts on that. Maybe we'll get to that in one of those Dash Y'alls, man.
Okay.
We'll talk about that stupid ass rally, but there's some moving parts on that. The sun kills the virus, the sun kills the flu, and we're in June, said anti-abortion activist Dee Dee Manor Friday outside of the BOK Center. Deborah Adams, who came with her 5 and 9-year-old daughters, said the Lord brought us here. Adams said she's not concerned about COVID-19. We're healthy, strong, and young. One attendee told MSNBC a friend died from the virus and his son was on a ventilator. So we know it's real, but then at the same time, you know, you don't know what the facts are. You feel like maybe one side plays it one way and the other side plays it another. Me personally, I don't really know.
Science, science, my nigga, science. Like, people are actually telling you how the shit functions. We know it's a blood disease. We know it's a version of it that it can affect children. Like, the fuck, my nigga? Like, this is very frustrating when you talk to stupid people.
Well, it's not just that, but this is the indoctrination of years and years and years of anti-fact, anti-science. This is what it comes down to.
Right.
Because if you watch Fox News, if you watch One America News, if you get your Breitbart.coms and stuff, that's where you get your information. And Facebook has for years not checked fact sources and said you can't share this stuff. When you have the disparate distance between two types of people that live in the same country, but one side gets to have their own version of facts and the other side gets their own version of facts, what happens is that people go, well, it's of equal quality regardless of what side you are on. So I choose to believe global warming is not real. You choose to believe it is. Then yeah, 97% of scientists are with you, but that's just your side. I have a side, and once we can make it two sides, both sides have to have equal weight in a lot of people's minds. And we're not prepared for this because this journalists think this is a thing. You know, news channels, when they cover it, will often bring on the quote unquote other side of that is not a factual person, and they don't see it, but they are actually contributing to the destruction of scientific fact and knowledge in our country when you bring on people that, well, hey, he's anti-global warming, and it makes a good segment on CNN, you know?
I fought them for a lot of this two-sided arguments. You have an opinion, I have an opinion, and, you know, 60 seconds, let's go. That's bullshit. And it's been happening for the past probably 10 to 15 years. Like, it's been slowly coming back and forth where it's the standard. And it's dumb and it's stupid. And once the news got out of news, and once the news got to the point where it's about profits over everything and not actually giving you facts and figures, the news shouldn't be a place where they should be trying to worry about shareholders and shit like that. Just give me the facts. But we have completely gotten away from that. And once you get away from that, this is where you come with all these things to get your numbers up, get your ratings up. We gotta compete with the network TV. We gotta compete with cable channels. And once you get to that point, you strip it of what it should be. It's about the news. And like I say, sometimes I feel like I'm old. Who, what, when, where, why, and how? Those questions now don't fucking matter anymore. Like I was taught those things and I believed in those things because that's how you find the truth. But we have completely gotten away from all the questions, from the investigation, because also the thing is too, people that actually do that stuff a lot of times their funding gets cut, because if you're doing something like that, it might take you years, it might take you 6 months, it might take you 3 weeks. You're not gonna have an instant answer. We live in a society where everything is instant. Something happens, I have to have an instant solution. It doesn't function like that, because just because something happened and just because something is presented to me, it does not mean it's always the truth. There are factors around this. Even when people do investigation, I might think somebody committed a crime. It might be somebody completely different. You have to investigate these things. And I right. think that society has gotten away from critical thinking. Society in general has gotten away from challenging itself. Like you say, long form reading, that's out the window, because a lot of that journalism is long form. You know, it requires time. It requires, I'm gonna have to take days, I'm gonna have to take weeks, right? And nobody wants to do this. They want you to scrunch it into a 30-second video, scrunch it into a 2-minute video, scrunch it into 140 characters, and that's impossible. And the thing is, by the time somebody actually goes through all this and present the thing, the topic is already cold and people have moved on to something else. But what they're right. presenting you is the facts. And we do have people that will go and read and things like that. But when they do that, people that were wrong, and there's never a retraction. Or right. if it is that instead of it being at the front of the page, like the story was, is in the fifth page or the third page, or is at the bottom of the website. So it's like, well, it's already out there and you're not trying to correct this.
Yeah, and I think also people use your propensity to anger and dislike against you.
Correct.
And that's what I like. A perfect example of this, Joe Biden. Joe Biden was being accused of, people were calling him a rapist not too long ago. What happened? Did everybody stop talking about it? Well, how did that just go away? If he is a rapist and you think he's a rapist, it's not like you're going to stop talking about it just all of a sudden. But it took time. People started investigating that woman's claims. People started talking to people that know her, talking about her past, all this stuff. And then it turned into this kind of murky, okay, we don't know if it happened or not. And then, oh, okay, she's had a history of some kind of strange things. Okay, maybe this isn't what happened. And then everyone goes, I'm not interested in this anymore. I was interested in calling that dude a rapist for several weeks.
Right. But now, you know,
but now that we don't know, and that things are starting to look a little more murky, the things we asked for, right? I just think we should investigate. We should do this. You get some answers and then they go, oh, fuck that.
Right. Because it's not the answers that they want.
Yeah. So I don't even necessarily think it's so much just only Republicans believe some bullshit. I think the internet now has made it, whatever you're prone to be persuaded by, it's something out there willing to get you. Yes. For black people, hotels.
Right.
The hotels are very anti-science, anti-fact, anti-questions, like they like to lead you up to a point until you start getting a rigorous, like, well, let's look into this scientifically, and then it's like, we don't got time for all that. You know, and so I think those things show it's when they discover your proclivity to be fooled, that's all they care about. And I think Donald Trump is probably one of the greatest people at finding somebody's proclivity to be fooled, to want to be fooled,
yes,
and leaning right into that. And white supremacy is a huge one for that, and that leads to people saying, I'm going to go to your rally without a mask to own the libs. I'm going to go to your rally and not social distance because I feel like I'm proving something, because if I don't believe in coronavirus, because I believe my white superiority on some subconscious level will win the day, you know, because like I said, none of these people think they're dying for him. I'll say that a million times.
Yeah.
I can't even say it's brave. None of them think they will die. Yeah, they think they're going to be just fucking fine.
Right. And I'm like, well, you signed up to die regardless of how you feel about it. I don't care if you think you are immune. I'm saying you signed up to die.
Right. But these are not the words of people who think they're going to die.
No, I agree with that.
It's pretty much a conspiracy brought on by the Democrats to try to disrupt the election process, said Gary Brumley, 60, right in that target age. Another man said his friend had died, but the treatment that they gave him killed him, not the virus. They don't think they're gonna die. You can't even say they're brave. No, you can't even give brave. Say they're sacrificing themselves for white supremacy. They don't, they're like lemmings running off a fucking cliff. They think there's something down there. They think it's gonna be fine. Just, they're running because everyone else is running. But yeah, I saw that and was just like, we ain't got a chance. Because the other part of this that people won't talk about often is this. All these people they work somewhere.
Come on.
They go some places. They go to your shopping center to the store. They work at your job. So all these jobs that are like, we're going to rush back. You know, these people are going to go out to eat. So even if you've been socially distancing and doing everything mm-hmm. right, when you share space with these people, you are endangered. You know, I don't know how any company that has been letting people remote work for the last however long, I don't know how any company can justify bringing anyone back before there's a vaccine.
And the thing is, you have to look at it like that dude said about Disney World. When you have Facebook, Twitter, Google, Apple, like some of these, I'm not sure about Apple, but I know those three, the first three I named, saying, you're home indefinitely, you're home until we get it. Like, they're telling people to stay. And these are some of the largest companies in the country that have thousands and thousands and thousands of people. You company with 100 people, why do you think that you're smarter than these people? Guarantee you these people have some of the best doing their own investigation to try to figure out what is the best for their employees. But you think that you're so special that you can quote unquote make everybody come back to work. Mm-hmm. And the thing is, a lot of people that was anti working from home are at home now and they love it. So many people are like, I've seen it in real life. I don't want to come back. If you give me the option, I am staying at home. I'm not coming back. Never, never, never again. Because the thing is, you don't have a vaccine. So what's the point of you rushing people in there? Because I'm blessed where I have a job where they're not rushing people to come back. They was like, look, certain jobs have to, but the building has to be a certain level. We can't have but so many people in the building, blah, blah, blah. But the thing is, even when I quote unquote do come back, I'm wearing a mask.
Right. But yeah, it's just something to think about, man. Till we have a vaccine or some type of treatment for this. Just coming back to work like the shit is all good, is it gonna work? Because even if you are wearing a mask and it's required at your job, some motherfuckers have been going to Trump rallies.
Yes, they have. And you know what I mean?
You don't know who. Flushing the toilet without a lid on may spread the coronavirus particles as well. Now, they don't know if this is how people have gotten it. I don't think they have any proof, but they're just talking about the way the molecules work in the air and shit and the way droplets work. And they're like, yeah, it can be in fecal matter. So in these restrooms, when people flush the toilet, it could be in the air, floating all up in there.
Yeah.
Like, once again, I'll say this. When you go to the bathroom in public, you don't have what? Lids, normally.
You normally don't. A lot of toilets
don't have lids.
No, they don't.
Now you're talking about going back to work, going out to these public events. Mm-hmm. We want NBA players to do blank. We want college kids to do blank. If you don't have toilets that even have lids, there's really nothing you can do about this. So if this is the way it spreads, we are fucked. All right, let's move. Last one. Top coronavirus expert Dr. Anthony Fauci says he has not talked to Trump in 2 weeks.
Yeah, I believe that. Trump got him the fuck out of there. He mm-hmm. ain't got no time for him.
He lost that number. Okay, soon as he could, he is sending all Dr. Fauci calls a voicemail.
He does not care.
He got him and his phone saved as this nigga.
Come on,
who's calling? Oh, this nigga calling again. What does he want?
Yeah, because he doesn't care, because everything Fauci says is facts, and Donald mm-hmm. Trump don't function on facts.
Right. All right, let's get into some other news. Oh, so the cops lied about that Shake Shack poisoning. Mm-hmm. And, you know, ever since that happened, I've been like, well, how the fuck did that blow up? How did that work? Well, shout out to the New York Post. Apparently, they had some investigative reporting.
Come on, and answering the who, what, when, where, why, and how. Apparently, guess what? But it took a while, didn't it?
Yeah, the fullest picture has yet to emerge of the incident, which came amid fraught tensions between the police and the public. It's based on records of multiple interviews with police sources. The three officers were down from the Bronx on protest duty in Lower Manhattan on June 15th when they ordered the now infamous mid-shift treats via a mobile app around 7:30 p.m. purchasing three shakes across two separate orders. Their drinks were waiting for them when they arrived at the Shake Shack on the second floor. A female officer picked up her strawberry shake from the front counter and two male colleagues grabbed their cherry and vanilla drinks from the side counter. Police sources explained it was clear that the workers couldn't have known the cops had placed the order since it was not done in person, and they couldn't have dosed the drinks after the officers arrived because they were packaged and waiting for pickup when the trio walked in. Soon after sipping the shakes, however, the cops realized they didn't taste or smell right, so they threw the drinks in the trash. They alerted a manager, who apologized and gave them vouchers for free food or drink, which they accepted. But when the cops told their sergeant about the incident, the supervisor called in the emergency service unit to set up a crime scene at the fast food joint for an evidence search around 9:20 p.m., nearly 2 hours after they got their first sour shakes.
So you're shutting the restaurant down now.
The three officers were then rushed to Bellevue Hospital, where they were examined and released without ever showing any symptoms. Meanwhile, a lieutenant from the Bronx blasted out an email to the union that six cops, there were three, six cops started throwing up after drinking beverages that they got from Shake Shack on 200 Broadway.
How do we get to sit? We got three extra imaginary people.
It was unclear why the sergeant and lieutenant escalated the situation. Detectives easily closed the case after interviewing five employees and reviewing surveillance footage showing the shakes were made normally. The machine was clean before the officers ordered, according to the sources. It still contained residual milkstone remover, a typically acidic solution used to combat buildup in dairy equipment. So maybe the machine had some cleaning stuff in it from when they cleaned the machine before they made the shakes.
But they probably
On purpose, not dosing them, not. Yeah.
But my thing is this, they probably been making shakes all day. The bitch is called Shake Shack. So people probably come in there asking for shakes. So how come out of all the people that had ordered shakes, y'all the only ones that got sick? We would have had more than, cause that's
that's what they're saying. Why are we the only ones that got sick? Y'all poisoned us. That's what the cops are saying.
Oh, okay. I'm asking that question too. It don't make sense.
Right, right. But I'm saying it does make sense. It sounds like they cleaned the machine before they made those three shakes.
Okay.
And so some of the cleaning material may have gotten in the shake or something. And so because they say they found residue of the milkstone remover, which is something they use to clean the machine. And that was right before they made those shakes. So maybe there was some type of mix up with that. Maybe. Keep in mind, they didn't actually get sick or anything. They just didn't think that the shakes tasted good and threw them out.
Okay.
But by 10:45 p.m. the Detectives Endowment Association was declaring that Finest had become ill after become ill after being intentionally poisoned by one or more workers at the Shake Shack.
Okay. After they went to the hospital, after they didn't find nothing wrong with them, right? Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, I want to be sure that I understood.
The Police Benevolent Association President Pat Lynch made a show of visiting Bellevue while his union declared at 10:47 p.m. that police officers came under attack from a toxic substance believed to be bleach. Both messages flurried across social media, spawning a trend, Boycott Shake Shack, a hashtag that was still being tweeted Sunday by users who appeared to erroneously believe that NYPD members were intentionally poisoned. Around 3 a.m. June 16, the department was reviewing a statement on the matter, and at 4 a.m., just over 8 hours after the cops picked up their shakes, Chief of Detectives Rodney Harrison announced on Twitter that there was no criminality. The unions later deleted the tweets and issued statements walking back their discredited claims. Privately, they blamed the lieutenant who first raised the false alarm. That, however, didn't stop City Council Speaker Corey Johnson and City Councilman Richie Torres from demanding a probe into the union's alleged inflammatory behavior. A review of the incident and how it unfolded is ongoing. Cops, man. They paranoid.
Mm-hmm. They are.
None of them should be able to have a gun.
If you scared of a shake, my nigga.
You can't have a gun. You just said you were poisoned, you risked that fucking Shake Shack, you doxed them saying it was that location. Anything could have happened to those people. Because you...
Right, people could have showed up at the location. Because people are crazy. Showed up at the location, threatened the employees.
Right. Now, this is a website that I'm pretty sure is biased. It's called lawenforcementtoday.com. And I think what they think is that we're going to be sitting at home scared. What I'm about to read. Colorado to strip its police force of qualified immunity. Countless officers discussing resigning.
Don't kill people there.
I mean, if you're only willing to do the job, if you can kill people without, like, if you can get a 007 license to kill, then maybe you shouldn't have a job.
Don't kill people, because guess what? If you know that you're going to be held accountable for that, you're less likely to pull that goddamn trigger. You're going to start using alternate methods. You're going to be less lethal if you are actually held accountable.
Mm-hmm. It's funny. And see, the thing that they do when they do this, the same thing happened with the police that pushed down a 75-year-old man, and then they quote-unquote resigned from the emergency force. And then, of course, all the quote-unquote riots became very peaceful in that area after that. One problem. Quite interesting.
The thing is, most of these protests, most of them, when police stopped showing up, the media stopped showing up, and then the confrontation went down. Yeah. For some reason, when the police showed up, it got violent.
And that's when the media wanted to show it on TV every night.
Right. But when they left, all of a sudden, it's a peace of protest, which means you can't put it on the top of your news as far as shocking. Look, white America, you're not talking to us. Look, white America. You can't run on that no more. And so a lot of this is why I debunk the people with the black on black crime, because that's what happens. We're out there marching. It's peaceful, so the news not there, so you don't see it. So you talking about people aren't out there, because people are still marching to today, truth be told, but you would not know it because it is not on the top of the 6 o'clock news, 11 o'clock news, 5 o'clock news, breaking news in your local cities. People are still marching. They're still angry. They're still protesting. They are all across the country. These marches have not stopped. But what has stopped is the media showing up. And so my thing, not trying to be funny, the police are the problem in these situations. They are the one that caused the confrontation. And this is different than when people are talking about, I need a fucking haircut. And we saw clips of police officers standing there like they had sense, and people with AR-54s, whatever, on their back, screaming at these people, but yet they had restraints. But yet when people was marching for Black Lives, y'all come in fatigue. You already have your bulletproof vest on. You're already there for a confrontation.
Yeah, the other thing I will throw in there is whenever they do this thing, they, hey, we can't push down a 75-year-old man, so 53 officers quit. Hey, we are in Atlanta after the Rayshard Brooks killing. The police officers called out. Half the police officers called in sick with the blue flu over the weekend. This is in Denver. Now people want to quit. Keep in mind, this law doesn't take effect for like 3 years, but they want to quit. Right. Well, number one, that's the best argument I've ever heard in my life for defunding the police. You clearly have way. Anyone in this economy who's playing with their employment don't need it. Like, if you playing games with your motherfucking check right now when people ain't got jobs, you clearly don't give a fuck about that check. You must be paid too much, because you clearly don't give a fuck. NBA players trying to come back to work because they know what's up. And you somewhere being like, fuck cop dollar. I don't need these dollars if I can't kill black people indiscriminately. That's number one. Number two, the threat of them quitting is not a threat to black people. Mm-mm. All of us go, yes, we need less police. We have too many interactions with the police. We are tired of the fucking cops. For the most part, we're like, it's not necessarily the existence of the police that bothers most of us in that way.
No.
I understand there's some extreme people like that. But mm-hmm. for most of us, it's the insistence on how they do their job.
Right.
So if they're gonna do their job the way they do it against us, not for us, then of course we don't give a fuck if they, like, that's not helping us. So we don't have the relationship to feel threatened by the idea that the cops are saying, I'm not gonna show up. Well, you don't show up for the things we would like you to show up for.
Come on.
And then for the things we wish you would leave us alone, you refuse to. You know, you all day you're here for stopping and frisking us or catching some motherfucker in the car with some weed. You love that shit. But when it's some shit like, you know, someone was sexually assaulted, all of a sudden it's taking a long time to get that, to get y'all to come out and look at this. It's all of a sudden now the rape kit is on fucking backlog and it can't be tested. Like, it's not like you're doing a great job. So you telling us that you're going to do less of a bad job is cool. We're fine with that. What the threat is for white people.
Yes.
What they're really saying is, we will stop doing our job for you, because the police exist in the way that they exist because white people would like for them to exist in that way.
Mm-hmm.
They don't think about it.
Mm-mm.
They think of the police as an arm of, hey, a black man told me I had to put a leash on my dog in Central Park. I'm going to call the police. Hey, a black man is walking house to house in a safety vest. I should call the police just in case. I know he just got out of a Duke Power utility truck and he seems to be checking the electric boxes on the side of houses, but I'm gonna call the cops just in case. You know, like, that's the difference. It's like police function for white people in a completely different capacity. So when they say they're quitting, what they're really trying to do is to break the alliance, the fragile alliance that is happening at the moment,
right,
that is white people working and cooperating with black people.
Mm-hmm.
White people in the streets because they at home, they, you know, they ain't got no jobs right mm-hmm. now, they ain't got no events to be at. So now you got white people in here that seem to be giving a fuck about black people, and they got the time to give a fuck about black people. And so the police go, okay, well then we're gonna stop doing our job for you. And the point isn't that things will become worse for white people. It won't.
Mm-mm.
But racism is so fucking irrational and is predicated upon a paranoia that is constantly in the minds of white people. This idea that black people are gonna get them, that black people are criminals, that they need to be protected, that they need all these guns, that they need all this shit, that America is some fucking, like, that everything, you know what it is that America is essentially a heist movie. It is white people heisting everything this country can have, whether it be black labor, indigenous lives and land, whatever. It is a heist movie. And at the end of the heist movie, they are fucking paranoid someone's gonna come do it to them. And so they've turned, so now the police sits this function like this security guard or somebody that's gonna constantly stop everybody from getting payback, from getting the revenge that they're owed and shit. But it mostly exists in their minds. Most of us are not even fucking interested in that.
No.
We just wanna live.
Just leave
and
me
so
alone.
When, so seeing George Floyd with 9 minutes of his life go expire before us, that shit has awoken a certain type of white person to, wait, what do the police do?
Right.
I don't want them doing this.
Nope.
I didn't ask for this. I don't want it on my behalf. But the police are hoping to scare that remaining white people, those white people on the front fence, those fragile alliance whites, into being like, no police. Oh no. That's why, honestly, look, it's our show, so we can say it. That's why I think abolish the police is stupid. It's a dumb fucking saying, because the idea is that these white people are so radical now, they're gonna be like, yeah, abolish the police too. They're not. You have to take them as far as they're willing to go and then push a little bit further. But we ain't even got off the fucking, like, step one yet, and people are already on step 100 and they ain't gonna get there with us. You know, same thing, like, even defund the police is kind of a misnomer. You know, it's like it's just enough of a salacious thing that is catchy on Twitter and stuff, but at the same time it's hard to sell to people, because when they first hear the words, their instant reflex is gonna say no, and then everyone's gonna jump in their shit, and then we're gonna have to go through explaining it again and what it really means and all this shit. It just sucks that I understand it. I agree with defund the police. And even I'm like, I already know that that's a tough sell. That's going to be real tough.
Yeah.
Because the relationship to white people and us is totally different.
Right. Because it's a tough sell for me. And my thing is, it is going to take a while to get to abolish. And I understand people go, well, it's not functioning, it's not doing what it's supposed to do. Yes, I agree, and I understand that it's fucked up and they're not doing, you know, the things that we demand of them. I understand that. But also, you're asking a country, a law and punishment country, to actually do something radical, and that's not going to happen overnight. And my thing is, once you quote unquote abolish, you're gonna have to replace it with something, and everybody's not gonna agree with whatever you replace it with.
If you don't want to replace it with nothing, which is what a lot of people are saying, I know America. I know it's gonna happen. They're gonna replace it with privatized militias. They're gonna replace it with quote unquote, where they say community policing, but community policing for white people are gonna look way different than the hippie shit that you think is gonna happen for black people.
Right.
So you're gonna have motherfuckers with guns running around and shit. They're gonna be on some totally different things, and there won't be a force that makes them not do that. Right. Because essentially, when you don't engage in the political system or whatever, when you just go fuck the whole system, I'm not engaging in that. Well, then who's the person in charge of saying, hey, we don't want these officers who are racist and kill people and shit and get away with it. We don't want them just going home with their weapons and ganging up and being like, well, now we just protect the white side of town. And if y'all niggas come over here and get shot, that's on you. What you gonna do? Lock me up in the abolished prisons? What you gonna do? I'm gonna go to prison in a world where we don't have any fucking sentences or places to put people?
Right.
What? A place where you don't know what to do with murderers and rapists? We just gonna... now you're gonna lock me up? You said you don't lock people up. It's gonna be a problem at one point. Some point's gonna, you know, there's gonna be answers that have to be made, but I think people know that what they're pitching is so far out that they don't have to have answers because they know that shit'll never happen.
Right. So for me, and all jokes aside, that's why I just dismiss it. Since you actually are actually don't want to get into the fundamentals of it, I can't go with you. Like, I personally, I'm like, cool.
Yeah.
Because we're
far away from the fundamentals. I mean, we're far away from it now. But my point is, I think everyone can agree what we have isn't working.
Agreed.
And I think that's the bigger part that everyone should be concentrating on.
Right.
Because abolition and even a complete defunding is so far away that motherfuckers are getting caught up arguing about that shit, and it's not going to happen. So the idea of changing things that you can change now, like some of these places are taking away funding, breaking contracts with police, trying to fund other things, those are good ideas.
Right. And the thing is, I am with the slow progression, like, because America don't move quickly. I don't know, not know why people think that this country is as far to the left as they really
are. I wouldn't even care if it was fast progression. I don't think it'll happen, but I wouldn't care. Do it fast. Defund them fast. I don't give a fuck.
Correct.
There is no part of me that thinks what they're doing is good enough to be preserved. So they can take it all. But my point is, convincing people of that is going to be much harder than a hashtag.
Right. And when I was talking about the progress is going to be slow, we can actually get to some of these ideas that you have, but it's going to be a slow process to get to the point where you be like, okay, we need to abolish it. Like,
I see what you're saying.
That's not going to be here today, gone tomorrow. Shit don't work like that.
Yeah. Well, some places are doing it. You know, Denver's trying to do it. Minneapolis is trying to do it. We'll see how fast it really turns out. I know Seattle, they have a zone where they say, there's no police allowed beyond this barrier. Unless it's like an emergency, then they open up the roads, let them through, and then kick them back out, I guess. I don't know exactly how it works, because, you know, obviously there's a lot of anti that area propaganda and a lot of pro that area propaganda, depending on what side you fuck with. So I don't really know what's truly happening there, but there are places where things are happening, and they're happening fast. We just don't know the results of those things yet.
No, it's gonna take a time to find out what works and what doesn't work.
Yeah, some people have already been killed in that Seattle zone area, you know, but depending on who you ask, the story is different for each person. And then, of course, you know, the police are gonna use the big joker of people probably in there getting raped and killed, and y'all ain't doing nothing. And so whether it's happening or not,
right,
that's enough to scare most people. So yeah, I don't know what is gonna happen is but my point is, what I do know is that this thing where they go, oh, we're gonna just go home then, oh, you're taking away our immunity, well then I don't want to be a cop, I'm gonna resign, that is directly tied to the fear white people have of black people.
Right.
They are basically saying, we will stop being your arm of your excuse, because you don't have to do it yourself. We will stop being the excuse you use to be racist.
Right.
And that is a bigger threat to white people than I think people understand. People think that shit's not gonna work, and white black people are celebrating, and that shit works on white people. I don't know how you reach the white people to be able to tell them don't fall for this, but that shit works on them. Even these well-meaning white people, their relationship with the police is not what we think. You know, when you know, and even shit, even well-meaning black people, because I the same motherfuckers talking about prison abolition was talking about they need to lock up that dude that killed Toyin all week saying you don't care about her, and if you know black men are trash, blah blah blah, all right, that shit. Well, they want their trash to go somewhere, and it's probably the one of them fucking prisons. I didn't see nobody talking about rehabilitating him, mm-hmm. what his mental health was like,
nope.
any of that shit. Same people, by the way, not some, like, that overlap is a Venn diagram of, there's a circle, like we don't really know or have a full idea what this radical, like, no cop, no prison, no locking up people thing looks like. We have some very broad scope ideas and feelings, but I don't think people are truly there yet. I think Mm-mm. people betray themselves when in the heat of the moment it comes out, and you're like, we want the cops that killed George Floyd to do what? Be locked up.
Go where to else prison. Are they gonna go?
Get charged with murder.
Yeah, which means you want a judicial system to actually do their thing, not a community to actually do their thing.
If we was really against all that fucking prison abolition and all that shit, black people wouldn't be mad that Amber Geiger got hugged. If we being real, because that's what that shit looks like. Mm-hmm. But we are mad because we actually aren't on that shit in the way that we talk about it. We talk about it when we identify with the person as the victim,
mm-hmm.
but we don't talk about that shit when we identify with the person that, you know, is the victim of the person charged or whatever. Like, when we identify with the person that's charged, then we obviously, you know, the girl licks the ice cream, why we gotta always lock people up, you know, shit like that. Okay, because that was a black girl. White person does the same thing the next day. Oh, this nigga, this nasty, unwashed leg motherfucker, he go to prison. You know, but, you know, it's hard to live in the truth. Speaking of living in truth, No Name and J. Cole. Have you heard about these two?
Okay, something else happened?
She apologized.
Okay.
So, I don't know if we didn't get to talk about this. I'm kind of glad we didn't, because, goddamn, this shit was Gender Wars. Part 3, Rise of the Return of the Jedi, on fucking Twitter.
You can see the water part.
God damn. Niggas was mad as hell.
I said, okay, and I just going about my business.
And as a general rule, if you've been listening to this show since episode 1, you already know, I do not argue with J. Cole fans for no reason. I have never not worth it. Not wasting my breath, not wasting my time.
Mm-mm.
They are a toxic fan group, and them niggas will yell at you. J. Cole went platinum with no features, as if that is the big joke of all jokers, and that means you must love his fucking music. So absolutely never. It's like a Facebook meme. I'm not starting my argument based in the fucking J. Cole Hive fight. That's not happening.
Oh no, it's not worth it.
And that's not even anti him. I don't listen to J. Cole like that. So it's not even some, like, because I hate J. Cole.
No, but
I don't fuck with him, and his fans are very annoying. So what happened, and it's funny what people leave out based on the allegiances that they have, because it turned into black men versus black women.
Mm-hmm.
But what happened was, No Name kind of did a subtweet of what people assume is J. Cole and maybe even Kendrick Lamar, that basically said, hey, y'all rap about black people and black struggles, but if your favorite artist ain't out here tweeting about this stuff right now, then, you know, essentially they're not black enough. They're not woke enough. They don't really care.
Oh, doing that black checking.
Yeah. And especially when it comes to tweets, you know, that is a thing that happens now with Twitter, is, If you're not tweeting about it, you must not care. It doesn't matter what you're doing in the streets. Right. It doesn't matter what you're saying on your music. Everyone has to tweet about it or you don't care about it. And it normally is a result of people spending so much time on Twitter.
Right.
They start thinking Twitter is like the only way or like some type of proof of caring. I think that's kind of ridiculous. And yes, I think sir. It's also very short-sighted, because what happens is that there's a lot of people who are able to pick up the lingo from Twitter and they just move themselves into these circles because they can tweet the right things. Mm-hmm. They don't have to mean any of it.
Mm-mm.
And that's why everybody's always getting scammed and mm-hmm. always getting surprised and shocked when they find out somebody's a fucked up person. It's like, well, all they did was tell you hashtag drink water every day.
What you wanted to hear.
Yeah.
and a lot of that is taking advantage of that anger. Even right. We do it to our own.
All they did was like name themselves some shit that, you know, that you just wanted to, shea butter, feminista, the third. I must be a cool person. Like, that person's a cartoon avatar. You don't know them.
You don't know them.
You don't know what the fuck they own. Okay. That person popped up 3 weeks ago. Now they got 1,000 followers. You don't know. Anyway. So No Name is a rapper from Chicago. We played some of her music on here before. And it was when she said that, we covered her before when she said that black people don't really come out and support her at live events, and she doesn't feel like she's supported by black people as an artist. And she says something about no more shows for white people or whatever, mm-hmm. which I guess, you know what I mean? I could understand. As an artist, if you think you're making some super black woke shit and then you show up to the live show and it's mostly white people in the audience, it's gonna bother you. And her fans, people were saying, like, not even her fans, but the people that follow her on Twitter, not always your fans. Think about this.
Because people that follow you on Twitter, yeah, it's real easy to follow somebody, but that don't mean you actually support and will give you dollars.
That's how FanCon got in trouble.
Right.
People that follow on Twitter was like, always your fans.
Mm-mm.
So anyway, so that was when we talked about her last time, and people were saying stuff like, oh, but No Name, you know, maybe they can't afford tickets. And she brought up a great point, which was they afford tickets to Nicki, they afford tickets to Kendrick, they afford tickets to other artists. They can afford the tickets, they just don't fuck with me. Point, you know, that is what it is, and that gotta hurt. Well, that was one thing. Another thing she did on Twitter was she tweeted some shit about capitalism, maybe even a couple of months ago, and she got dragged to smithereens. It was just people basically being like, you know, fuck what you talking about, blah blah blah. So then she's kind of done a 180. She's been reading all these books, and now she's coming back being like, hey, I'm a socialist, I'm a communist now, I'm a this, you know, like, y'all should have never drugged me because I'm about to be da 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 da. And so she's now super woke. No Name also has a book club. I saw her interview by Trevor Noah not too long ago, maybe 2 or 3 months ago. Like, she's a very astute, she cares, she's very smart, all this stuff. And very woke TM, you know, at this point. I think she's 28 years old.
Okay.
So she's also kind of coming into that. I think Twitter rolls in phases for certain type of people.
Mm-hmm.
And I think right now she's in that Twitter wokeity woke phase where every thought that crosses your mind, you think you got to share with everybody, is genius, is brilliant.
Versus
filtering. And yeah. This is when a lot of times the Twitter people start putting you on that pedestal. They love you. You become representative of a bunch of shit. They start projecting on you.
Yep. And you have to represent everything that they say.
Right. And right now I feel like she's very, people are projecting onto her all black womanness, right? Like, black woke womanness. That's what she represents to a lot of people. So for her to say that about J. Cole, a fellow rapper, a lot of people were running with it. I saw Academics, the dude, he was on his Instagram page and he had fucking like pictures of J. Cole and Kendrick above her tweet. So maybe she didn't mean Cole, maybe she did. Whatever happened though, people start assuming it was about him.
Right, regardless if it was or not, that's right. How people interpreted it.
Right. And keep in mind, motherfuckers at this point, and I've been saying this the whole time, but how black people are responding to this trauma, people need to have a little bit more kindness for everybody. And you can't cherry pick it out. You can't be mean to people and then be like, but I want my kindness. Like, leave people alone, let them handle shit how they handle, because you really don't fucking know. Mm-hmm. They could be sitting somewhere with a fucking gun in their temple, like, I'm ready to take myself out. I'm tired of this world. I watched this black man get killed and I can't take it no more. And you somewhere on Twitter like, I see you didn't tweet about it. We don't fucking know what is happening in people's minds.
No,
we don't know what's happening in their heads. Some people ain't tweet activist motherfuckers.
No,
some people ain't, you know, some people are out in the streets. Some people feel, I'm gonna wait until I can process this through a song or entertainment, mm-hmm, or whatever. We really don't know.
And also the thing that particularly Twitter don't allow people to do is stay in their lanes.
Yeah.
Sometimes my lane might not be this, and I might come out in my due time, but I might do it in art. I might do it in a song. Yeah. I might, you know, so there are these other ways that they could come out and present it, but it does not have to always be the way that quote unquote Twitter wants you to.
And also a lot of times these people are doing you a favor.
Yes, they are.
Cause they don't know what the fuck they talking about. Mm-mm. This is why I don't encourage people to speak out. Because most of the time when somebody's not speaking out on something, there's a fucking reason. It's not always that they know better, but they're scared. A lot of times because they don't know what the fuck they're talking about, and either they're reading up on it, they're learning on it, or they're just going, not my lane, let me shut the fuck up before I say something dumb. And people have this thing where they only really say shut the fuck up, or they only tell somebody you should have just been quiet after they said the fucked up thing.
Right.
So don't encourage them into saying something fucked up. I'm not walking around talking about, I need white people to talk to me. I don't need them to, because they probably don't know what the fuck they're talking about. I have lived as a black person, and I've also read a bunch of books about blackness and black history. You know what they haven't? Done either one. And if they're going to start now, they're going to need some time. They bought them big ass books the last couple of weeks. Well, they need some time to read them too. So give them a chance. They haven't read White Fragility enough to be out here confidently talking about it. And you know what happens when they fuck up? We roast their ass and tell them to shut the fuck up. So just leave people alone. We don't know. So right there was the thing that a lot of people left out. And I think that's a very important thing. She called the dude out. I think you can't skip over that. People want to skip over that because they're playing the teams or the genders and versus each other. Start right there with, okay, so you called this person out. This nigga, J. Cole, responds to it in a rap.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't say her name either. So for the people that go, well, she didn't even say his name. I guess Hit Dog's a holler. Technically, he didn't say her name either. And everybody knows it's about her, too. Let's just keep it a buck. Both these niggas are kind of being messy at this point. So he put out this song, and I listened to it. It's not a bad song. I just don't think I'm a J. Cole fan. But it's basically him saying, like, because he made sure to say it was a woman on Twitter that, like, is really smart and very, like, people-minded and reads all these books and tweets out, like, she's mad at the world, she's mad at white people, she's mad at everybody, and she basically calls him out, and he feels like he hasn't been saying anything because he's not as smart as her. He's not as equipped to be out here talking all this shit. He hasn't read all those books, and he's just been minding his business and staying in his lane. And then he ends it with saying he can't walk, ran into somebody like at the gas station or something, another brother, and made him question himself at the end and say, am I doing enough? And that's the song, essentially. Like, he doesn't disrespect her name or anything like that. The main line in there that I think was the one that set a lot of people off, but I think anything he would have said would have set him off, because
right,
he was responding, he shouldn't have responded. In a lot of people's minds, the Twitter shit works one way. I get to say whatever the fuck I say about you, you don't get to say anything back.
That's how they think that right. Should work, but it doesn't.
If you say anything back, it better be, I was wrong, you were right, I'm sorry. But if you say anything like, I don't agree with you, like, then all of a sudden you're the bad person. One person has to be the hero, other person has to be the bad guy, and this is one of those things we get to line up and be like, coon, coon, coon. The thing that I felt that he said that was like, okay, this is gonna set everybody off, he said something about he didn't like her tone. And I don't really give a fuck how you put that in a rap, whatever. If you tell a black woman, a woman, not even black, if you just tell a woman, you know, if you tell a person that you don't like their tone, even if you literally don't like their tone, it's got a certain intonation coming from a man to a woman.
Mm-hmm.
It's got a certain intonation. It's gonna fucking set, intonation just another word for tone, y'all. It's just gonna set motherfuckers off. That's it. You tell somebody I don't like your tone, even if they were the one that came at you sideways, people are going to concentrate on that rather than what the fuck you just said.
Yeah, because a lot of times it's not about the action, it's about the reaction.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm like, what Juwan said, he thought it was bad timing. I thought that at first, but when's a good time? Is there ever a good time for somebody to be like, you're coming at me sideways, I don't like your tone? People gonna already take it bad, you know? Right. It's not like there's like, well, you know what, if we wait a month, we'll have a good, you know, we'll let black women have 3 good weeks and then we can bring it up. Nah. Mm-hmm. They was blaming everything on this nigga. They was like, trans women getting killed, that's you, that's on your fault. You know, everything was on J. Cole. J. Cole ain't never said or did nothing like that in his rhymes or even in person. But for that moment, he became representative of everything bad that black men had ever done.
It's projected on him.
Yeah, right. Because they're also projecting on a no name. You know, so I thought that was a big part of it. The other thing, too, is people took it as, you better educate me. And I didn't take it as that. I took it as him saying, if you're on Twitter to educate people, you can't be dragging them.
Come on.
That, I've said that a million times on the show. That being said, for her, she got dragged into being more of a activist, communist, socialist, whatever. So for her, that is the method she learned. Same thing, she used to be called No Name Gypsy, and same thing, she got, you know, kind of like called out and harassed into being like, okay, you need to apologize and change your name. And she did, you know. So for her learning style may be totally different than J. Cole's. Mm-hmm. You know, and I totally understand the disconnect there, because to her it's like, I call people out and then they do better. It's like, no, that's not everybody's gonna respond to that. Mm-mm. This, you know, some people gonna get defensive, some people gonna just be like, well, I was minding my business and I disagree with what you just said, you know. You can't make me do shit, you know.
Come on,
you don't like me, oh no, what am I gonna do? So like, different people gonna have different responses to being called out, whether it's legit or not. So I thought that was a big part of the thing that got just, you know. And then once everybody's hopping on it, it's kind of like, if you think he has bad intentions, you're gonna turn every word into bad intentions. Thank God I don't really give a fuck either way. So that was the first thing. And then No Name responded, and she made a rap, and her rap was bringing in like Toyin being killed, like I think maybe Ayana Dior being beaten. Like, it was bringing in a lot of stuff that, in my opinion, is not a J. Cole thing. I'm not saying it's not even a black man thing. Right. I'm not saying, I don't think J. Cole represents all black men. I don't think No Name represents all black women. Mm-mm. I think they're two rapper individual co-workers that are having issue online, and then they're communicating. I don't know if there's a phone call behind the scene after this or whatever, but they both had these raps come out, and so then of course everybody now is, she killed him in this. And I'm like, I feel what y'all trying to say, but I didn't even reply or talk about any of that shit either, because I was like, you know, this is also kind of fucked up, you know, that now this thing has become about whether or not these rappers are battling over black lives. And there's nothing about J. Cole that says he doesn't care about black people's lives. There's nothing about that. Like, he's not some coon ass rapper, you know. But it was just kind of a weird thing that I feel like only happens on a microcosm of Twitter. Outside of Twitter, I bet people don't even give a fuck about this.
No, they do not. And in conjunction with that, niggas at home with nothing to do.
True. That's
so
true.
That's why it actually dragged on as long as it did, because normally people would have talked about it a smooth 24 to 48 hours and then it moved on.
I think also the existing gender war between black men and black women is just, it's always ripe for entertainment and attention.
Correct.
So if you can frame the discussion behind that, because essentially what people are saying is, she's able to call him out and he can't say anything back.
Yeah, and I don't.
Right. That's what they're really saying. Mm-hmm. If you boil it down to like, okay, right. So what exactly is wrong here? It's like, well, he was basically supposed to take that tweet and eat it and be like, fuck everything I've ever done for my community, fuck everything I've ever rapped about, said. You know, he has a home that he for a year he gives black single mothers the home to live in for free, no rent, no nothing.
Wow.
Right. The man who apparently hates all black women, right? He also, there's pictures of him at protest, so he's been protesting since it'll last like 2 months. So the idea of even calling him out in the first place is a little shady, because it's like, because he wasn't tweeting, these things go away.
They think that's the end all be all.
Yeah. So that was kind of fucked up, and I think, you know, people gas shit up. So once they seen it was about to be between her and this dude, then it's like, oh, it's time to start the black man brigade, time to start the black woman brigade. Mm-hmm. Cause that's the other thing. A lot of the argument isn't even really between the substance of what they said. Mm-mm. It's black men going back and forth with black women in the mentions of these two people. And you see it online. It's just, it's crazy. Mm-hmm. Like what is happening. It's not, it really has nothing to do with it. You know, people are more enthralled with the symbolism of it, you know, rather than what the substance of it. And then people are kind of cherry picking what they want from it, you know. It's like a big episode of Insecure, right? It's like, oh yes, see, when he said tone, what he really meant was, and it's like, okay, or is it possible ever for a woman to come at you and have a tone that you don't like, and it's not just because she's a woman? Like, if it was a dude, you wouldn't like the tone that motherfucker said, but that's okay to say it. But like, so there's power dynamics at play that are moving, shifting, as it's happening. So, and then of course, for her response, there was a lot of people going, you being divisive, you fucking up. So you supposed to be about black unity, but here you are saying such and such. But to me, I'm like, at that point, he did a song. I don't see, as a rapper, why it's wrong for her to do a song. We didn't call Jay-Z and Nas divisive. You know, when Meek Mill and Drake was rapping back and forth, these niggas being divisive, like, they had a disagreement and they put it in their art. Point blank. You know, this one is a little bit more serious feeling because of the subject matter. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, this is what they do. So I don't see how you can kind of like shut one down or the other. And so then you have people that were really, really big up in the song 33. That's the name of it, song 33. And so there, it was a lot of like, she won. J. Cole is whack. Nobody even listened to him. It's obvious she's a much better rapper. That's when I checked out for sure. Cause I was like, y'all actually don't give a fuck. Because if she's a much better rapper, y'all need to start going to her concerts. Y'all bet, like, after, when we off of quarantine, her shows better be sold the fuck out. Nothing but black people in there supporting her. Cause if not, it's just that fan con shit. Mm-hmm. Talk a good line online, and then at the end of the day, you don't really believe it. You ain't about to stream it.
They were leaving their houses before.
Cause the thing with J. Cole is, actually or not, his fans show up to his shit. The platinum thing is real. It happens.
Yes, it is.
You know, you might not like his music, but the motherfucking shit did go platinum. So, mm-hmm. Anyway, so everyone was like, yeah, you told him, blah, blah, you know, all this shit. And once again, black men being, oh, fuck that song. She wrong for that. Black women, yeah, go off, girl, blah, blah. And then she did something this morning that I think took a lot of people by surprise to some extent. Or yesterday, really, she said, I've been thinking a lot about it, and I'm not proud of myself for responding with song 33. I tried to use it as a moment to draw attention back to the issues I care about, but I didn't have to respond. My ego got the best of me. I apologize for any further distraction this caused. Madlib killed that beat, and I see there's a lot of people that resonate with the words, so I'm leaving it up, but I'll be donating my portion of the song's earning to various mutual aid funds, Black Radical Unity, Black Power Fist.
Oh, you know what this means now, don't you?
What?
They about to kick off their pedestal, my nigga, because they don't apologize and they don't ever say I'm sorry.
Yeah, a bunch of prison abolitionists that don't apologize. But not that what happened was, I mean, there were people that were like, what I saw mostly was just people being like, you don't gotta apologize. Which I'm like, who the fuck is anyone to tell somebody they don't have to apologize?
Right. If she chose to, that's her choice.
That, it's just like forgiveness. You don't get to decide for the person.
No, you don't.
They decide what they feel inside. You know, it reminds me of a couple times on the show when I've gone off about something. I felt very passionate about it. And nobody really had a problem with it other than the people I was, you know, talking about, I'm sure. But I would feel bad. And so later on the show, I'd be like, I want to apologize. This is the same place that I said the thing. I take it back. You know, I shouldn't have said it. I was just, because I felt righteous and I was upset at the time, it doesn't necessarily mean I was right.
Mm-mm.
And I was, whether you recognize it or not, I felt out of control.
Right.
I felt like I was now doing something that wasn't necessarily about a bigger point to be made. It was about protecting my own ego.
Mm-hmm.
It was about myself being hurt and offended, and now I'm putting this out into the world. Right. And I feel bad about the shit. You know, with Firestarter, there were people, oh, you shouldn't say, don't apologize to them. They ain't. And I'm like, no, those are my friends.
Right.
And even regardless of my intentions, if they took it a certain way, I'm grown up enough to be like, yo, that's not what I intended.
Right.
And, you know, I would never do something like that to y'all. You know, like, I'm trying to patch it up, make it up, because I need it. Not for the audience, not even really for them, but it's for me. I have a moral boundary I have to live within.
Right.
You know? So it was funny to see people try to throw it away like, nah, fuck that. You know what I mean? Which is, I'm like, so then what about her autonomy? What about her agency? Didn't you just say fuck your agency? No. Fuck how you feel about this thing. Yeah. And that's when I was like,
they want you to be the puppet.
That is the projection.
Right.
Because you can't, if you were truly supporting her, whatever the fuck decision she made, you support her and you're like, yo, if that's how you feel, cool, we rolling with you. We got your back.
Yeah, because she took your brownie points. She took your argument points. She took your things away. And also the thing is, like a lot of things, people use these things as a jumping off point to talk about their personal lives. So right. Now all of a sudden you can't make the situation about you anymore because she apologized. So you need her to continue to remain mad, to continue to go at him, to continue to be upset. Sure. Because as long as she does that, you can continue to actually go out here and spew the anger, the hurt, and the pain that you have within yourself, things that you need to resolve offline, things you need to go get help, a psychologist, your medication, whatever you need to do to get yourself in check. But you don't want to do that because that will take work. It's easier to project, to use her as your jumping off point and to project however you're feeling into her message, regardless of if it's a connection or not.
Yeah, I think also people have been very desirous to have like a back and forth between Black men versus Black women for a long time, you know, and this was kind of a good nexus point to jump that off of. And
right.
You saw a lot of people expounding upon it on some like Black men versus Black women as opposed to J. Cole versus No Name. And I think that was a big part of it. So they don't want to lose that. Cause it's like if she says she feels bad about it, then it's somehow taken away from how good you felt about it. But my point is, it was never really about her in the first place, so why would you even care how she feels about it? You're gonna use the song and the beef for whatever you feel anyway. You're gonna continue to feel that. So you don't have to say retroactively, I don't fuck with the song. You still like the song. It happened. It was a moment in time. The artist doesn't stand by that song. That's fine.
Yes, because I've come to the conclusion too, a lot of people like the falsehood or the illusion of power, you know, because you have an illusion of power. Anger gives people a huge illusion that they are actually in control of a situation. And the thing is, yes, you can be angry and in control. Yes, you can. But for a lot of people, once they cross a certain point of being upset and mad and into just pure rage, which a lot of these people are in that rage point, you have a complete illusion of power. So everything you say is right. You can never be checked. Everybody else is wrong because as far as you're concerned, I have to have this quote unquote power. So if I give this up, if I admit that the beef is over, that means I can no longer go out here and wield my power at whatever subject that I'm targeting.
Yeah. And I have a lot of respect for what No Name did, to say, cause it wasn't like an apology to J. Cole. She just was on some like, for my own self, I feel like I violated what I'm into. I'm not trying to make this about ego, and here I am feeding into the ego part of it.
Yeah.
And I have a lot of respect for that, because it is very difficult when people are having your back, quote unquote, mm-hmm. telling you you can do no wrong, to have the temerity to be like, despite what y'all are telling me, this support isn't necessarily what I need. Like, this isn't necessarily right. That self-interrogation, I respect that shit, because everybody can't be right all the goddamn time.
No, they can't.
You know, but you can come back and be like, yo, I had this wrong, and I can admit it, and this is how I see it from my perspective. I know we're about to go to the break, but yeah, there's a respect I have for it, because a lot of people say stuff like, you know, whenever I'm doing this, I need people to check me, and I appreciate people checking me, and they keep me in line, and my friends, these are my good friends. And there's some virtue to that, but I don't think that's a good model. I think checking yourself is a better model, because then if not, you're just making yourself work. It's labor on your friends. They supposed to be looking out for you all the time for when you fuck up, so now it's like their job to police your fuck ups, and this when you fuck up. So when they're not so I like that No Name was introspective enough to be like, it ain't really about y'all either. Like, I'm just checking myself. I feel bad for how the part I played in this shit is no longer about what it's supposed to be about. And I can't pretend that that's not my ego, right? And then the other part of it, too, is the way she came at J. Cole was essentially checking him. Well, if you are checking people are going to tone police you. People are, you know, I hate that term, but that's what the fuck happens. I don't know who people think they are that people can approach them any kind of way, and you just go, you know what, you're right. That's not true. That is not true. If somebody comes at you in a certain type of way, you feel disrespected, 99% of human beings are gonna be like, fuck you, and fuck for you for the way you approach me. They're not even gonna give you as thoughtful a response as that J. Cole song was. They're just gonna be like, fuck you. Fuck you for approaching me, and I don't think I can do anything more. Suck my dick, blah blah blah, I'm out, right? So I think that's a big part of it too, you know, with the, like, if you're offering your services to check people, then people get to say, I don't like the service. Like, if you're making yourself the one who calls balls and strikes on blackness, people get to be like, I don't like the way you did it. You came at me in a way that made me feel a certain way, and my feelings matter too, right? And then at the same time, I love people that can do that for themselves and be like, I check myself. So, you know,
yeah.
No harm, no foul.
And for me, I gotta say this. A lot of people, particularly on Twitter, where they go, check me, call me out, a lot of times they actually don't always mean it for a good thing. A lot of times they mean check me and call me out and be in agreement with me. Mm. And that's the big difference. And you can self-check, but you actually need people around you that will actually be like, no, no, nigga, you was wrong. That won't actually pump your head up. That won't actually make you feel good. That will not be there to stroke your ego. That will look you in the eye and be like, nigga, you was 100% wrong.
You need people like that around you?
Huh?
You need people like that around you? Like, that's exactly what I'm talking about. I don't think people do.
Oh, me?
People like to say that shit on some, like, performative shit. I don't need that. When I'm wrong, my people are gentle to me.
Yes, they
are. And vice versa. And when my friends are right,
and that's
wrong,
that's what I mean. Like they're not going to attack you. You know what I'm saying? They're not going to come at you.
But even like the way you said, like, sit you down, nigga, you was wrong. That's actually not what the fuck people need. That's a very popular thing to say online.
Correct.
That is not what works on most people.
No.
Most people, when they fuck up, it's like, hey, I know she did this.
Can we talk
about
it?
Have you thought about this? You know, it's not, nigga, you don't do enough for the community.
Yeah, and like, I said it like that, but that's not how I mean it. But meant it. Okay, thank you for clarifying, because I know me. You approach me like that, we gonna have some words.
Yeah, and I know you too, which is why I know that you if a nigga hop in your bitches talking about some, you was wrong, you need to check yourself. It's not gonna go the way they think it's gonna go.
Mm-mm.
And I think that's natural. That's most people. Most people are not on some God, what is that fucking movie about the drummer? Y'all know what I'm talking about. Y'all in the chat when I watched it, probably. It's the white man movie, not the drum line. the one where the dude was like yelling at the motherfucker and how to play them drums, like that is not how most, the reason that was a fucking Oscar worthy performance is because that is not most people.
No,
most of us are like, I don't learn anything like that. You start yelling at me like Bobby Knight, I will punch you in your fucking face.
Yes, there's gonna be problems, and I said it like that, but that's not how I meant it. I mean, you actually need somebody. I know for me, treat me gentle, you know, like, yeah. like I'm like you. I can't have a Molly and Issa relationship. A nigga, I will punch you in your face. Yeah. Talking to me all crazy like you ain't got no sense. Like, no, be nice to me, be gentle to me, treat me kind, you know, but there's an appropriate way to approach somebody. And that's why when people do that check you and they coming at people all kind of ways, they be like, well, you didn't learn, no nigga, you don't learn like that either.
Tone doesn't matter when people agree with you.
Correct.
Tone always matters the other way, which is because most people aren't true empaths. You know, maybe it's the Libra in me, but I normally end up being like, well, I have empathy for both sides of a situation, mm-hmm. and can kind of like, I just want to understand. I don't necessarily want to judge, but I do want to understand how you arrived at one conclusion or the other without necessarily assuming the worst out of you. And I think that is what was missing from this whole conversation, was that it was one had to be the bad guy, one has to be the good guy. One person doesn't care, one person cares the most. One's a hero, one's a villain. And once you get into all that shit, you really zap all the nuance out the situation, you zap all the truth out the situation, and it becomes like he's not allowed to be offended, but she is. You know, like I can have a fucked up tone, you can't remark on it. You know, another example of this, I remember last year maybe. When was the year the finale of Game of Thrones? Was that last year? Last season?
Yeah.
When we had Tatiana on, and mm-hmm. I just forgive me because I just forgot her name, but there was another guest.
Yes.
And we talked about Game of Thrones, and they did not like the last season, and mm-hmm. we loved it.
Yes.
And so there was a lot of back and forth. It was very mm-hmm. passionate. And, mm-hmm. you know, if you listen to if you listen to For All Nerds, you know that Tati is like such a great arguer, debater.
Yeah, that's her personality. Right. Yes.
And so we had a good time on the show. We end the show. We're like, oh man, I love y'all. We'll talk to you later, blah, blah, blah. Go on Twitter and there's just like a handful of people, not a lot, but enough being like, I didn't like the way they were talking over Rod and Karen. And then that people that listen to our show, it was very disrespectful that they was doing that on y'all show. Other people that came to listen to us, probably from For All Nerds, I didn't like the way they were talking over the women on the show. See, this is why I don't like it. And I'm like, oh, y'all are coming in it thinking you have one side of person's back or not. We actually don't have a problem with each other.
Nope. None.
So we thought we had a great conversation. Mm-hmm. I would guess most people thought we had a good conversation, even if they disagreed. For the fans that have been hating the show but wanted to hear that represented and how we would answer on the show,
right,
they got to hear it, even if it didn't turn us into like, well, we hate the show now too. It was, and we still laughed it off and we still had a good time, jokes were made, all this shit, right? That kind of reminds me of this, where it's just like so much of this is more about the projection of coming from this point of view, coming from that point of view.
Right.
You feel like you're protecting something.
Yeah.
These men think they're protecting J. Cole from something.
Right.
No offense to J. Cole. He don't need no protection.
He's a grown ass man.
Yeah, he'll be fine. Mm-hmm. I think he even tweeted the next day, essentially, agree to disagree, and yes, I meant what I said. Okay, he'll be fine. He went platinum with no features. He will be okay. You know, and No Name will be fine too. You know, she's on her journey. She's like, she got so much shit going on that besides this, that it really to her may feel like a distraction and beside the point. You know, it doesn't seem like what she is in this for, at least seeing from her tweets, is to be the person that calls balls and strikes on blackness. It seemed like she really do have a heart for the people, and this is not necessarily about that.
Mm-mm, you know? It's not about controlling.
I think she even deleted the original tweet that started all this shit. So I really don't think this was ever her intention. Mm-mm. You know, and of course either one of them could have let it go at any time. And I do think it says something about her that she let it go in the end. Mm-hmm. You know, and now it could be just some coworker shit. It could be people was like, why are you burning this bridge?
Come on.
It could be that too. I don't know, but I'm glad it's over.
Right. Either way, I'm glad it's over.
So. Was you about to say something? I'm sorry. Mm-mm. All right. Let's move on. Let's try to do something a little more fun. Not gonna do fucking with black people today. We got Jemele Hill coming in tomorrow, so
yay,
maybe we'll do some games with her. All right, let's do the cookout. Let's invite some people to the cookout. All right.
Oh shit, now
Let's see, Black Sabbath is gonna be selling Black Lives Matter t-shirts in the style of the band's classic logo. So instead of Black Sabbath, it will say Black Lives Matter.
This, you know, is like a rock band, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So this is what the, it's black and purple. That's what the designs look like.
Ooh.
Yeah. Now I don't know much about Black Sabbath. I don't know if this is like people were assuming they didn't give a fuck about black people, or if they, or what, you know what I mean? I don't know. But yeah, they're showing support for Black Lives Matter with their gear. Okay. And then the proceeds are gonna go to Black Lives Matter. Wonderful. To the movement.
Wonderful.
So these white people are coming out to let us know, hey, we support y'all and we appreciate it. Okay. I mean, they're essentially gonna be coming to the cookout. I guess they'll be playing rock music. So I guess they'll be rocking with us.
Y'all make room for them. I think they bringing a drum set, they said, in a guitar.
That's some tight leather pants. You want to sit by Eddie Murphy?
Close your eyes. What is them tassels? What is that swaying off your pants?
You know, Slash from Guns N' Roses is already here if y'all want to go sit in his section.
Come on!
Ain't nothing that you can do.
All right, let's see who else is coming to the
cookout. Your grandma in the back. Where's them young people over there screaming? No, she don't know nothing.
All right, we're going to definitely violate some noise ordinances. Our girl, Ariana Grande.
Yes!
She promoted a black-owned coffee shop, and it had 150 customers within minutes.
Come on! Come on! Her last album was Flame. Shout out to Nick and Reggie.
A local black-owned cafe is receiving an influx of business after Ariana Grande shared her support for it on Instagram. The South LA Cafe, which is located in Los Angeles, California, was founded by Celia and Joe Ward Wallace with a focus on creating a community space to take pride in the history, legacy, and future of the South Central community. The cafe's website even has an option to donate to help a neighbor in need.
Come on through.
Man, that's crazy. She's so famous, she could just say their name and people physically showed up within minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, imagine when these famous...
they might not even know what was happening. All of a sudden, you like, yeah, I'm going to need everybody to come out the back because I don't know what happened, but all of a sudden, we got flooded with physical people, y'all.
We need some famous white people podcast listeners.
Come on.
That's what we, apparently. We need motherfuckers to shout us out and like, hey, it's me. I listen to Black Autism. Motherfuckers be like, oh my God, what? I got to go check these Negroes out.
Mm-hmm.
150.
Yes,
wow.
Yes, come on. Thank you. Next. Hey. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, the cafe's focus on community is apparent in social media, where most recently it was seen giving out free food during the coronavirus lockdown.
Aww.
Grandy has been very vocal in her support of the 2020 Black Lives Matter movement in the wake of the police killing George Floyd. She posted an image with a South LA coffee in her hand in an Instagram story on Thursday. She tagged the photo with a simple caption, "Morning." The South LA Cafe shared the post on its own page, writing a note about her support. At Ariana Grande supports the movement for black lives and black owned businesses like at South LA Cafe. Thank you. She then shared the story on Thursday, writing, LA friends, be sure to try South LA Cafe, smiley face. So, so good. Early Thursday morning, the cafe shared how her post had brought its massive support from people around the world. We've been fortunate to win Grandy over from Starbucks this past week, as well as her incredible hashtag Ariana Tours. Is that what they call them? Arianators? Starbucks recently banned its employees from wearing Black Lives Matter movement attire. I think they may have reversed. Yeah, they eventually reversed the decision at the backlash.
But the fact you said it is a problem, man. Ain't that too long ago? Didn't they have that seminar and high-fived each other? Like, we did it! And then you gonna turn around and do this bullshit?
Yeah, wasn't it like something about talk about?
Yeah, because that's when the two brothers got put out of the restaurant that time.
It was hashtag race together.
Right.
Common was in promotion for it. He was reading that paper.
Yeah, y'all high-fived y'all step after that.
Yep.
Like y'all had done something.
Well, yeah, they reversed their decision after the backlash, and fans think Grandy, who has collaborated with Starbucks in the past on drinks, is boycotting the chain. Meanwhile, the South LA Cafe revealed it received 150 customers in 29 minutes.
Good God.
After her endorsement. Beyond that, it has received words of support from Latin America to the Netherlands, according to the screenshotted messages it received in its inbox.
How about say, if they deliver, they're going to really be making some money.
Stores in Latin America will open at some point, ? Asked one eager user from Uruguay. That would be nice, the store responded. If I was able to come over, then of course I will. Read another message from someone from the Netherlands. Black lives matter. Nobody will matter until black lives matter. Ariana and all her Arianators will love y'all, the Netherlander wrote. Not only your drinks, but the people who are working there. The Netherlander wrote, I have so much respect for you guys. Black lives matter now, tomorrow, always will matter. That's crazy. Aww. All it took was her just saying that, and these motherfuckers was like, you know what? Black lives are the best. That's what we need to use stand culture for good. That's what maybe they could stand us into freedom. We just need to organize the stands behind black lives. Damn, they fell in fast. Anyway, we appreciate you, Ariana Grande.
We do.
Okay, we'll play a little ditty for you.
Clean up on yourself, girl. Come on.
Don't let it lick the donuts. Don't let it lick the donuts.
Somebody let it go. How old is that little girl? She's 13. She's a grown woman.
Keep the pastor away from her. I pull up at the club, VIP, all drinks on me. Get that coffee. Fresh white tall tee, fresh NFL hat, fresh bowls with the grease. White man out. Pussy niggas wanna hit me with the heat. Real recognized, real niggas gon' speak. Listen, all drinks are on her.
Come on.
As long as you're drinking Cafe LA, apparently they're going to be the official coffee of the cookout. Let's see who else is coming to the cookout. Oh, man. Chick-fil-A CEO Dan Cathy.
Okay.
Tells white people to find strangers and shine their shoes amid nationwide protests.
like the Negroes used to shine my shoes
during a recent
be sure your spit shine real good.
During a recent panel at Passion City Church in Atlanta, Chick-fil-A CEO Dan Cathy encouraged white people to shine a stranger's shoes amid Black Lives Matter protests. Cathy's statement comes as a response to protests taking place to the end of killing of black people and people of color at the hands of police. I invite folks just to put some words to action here. If we need to find somebody that needs to have their shoes shine, we need to just go right on over and shine their shoes. I blame this on all you blacks that got mad about them washing our feet. Okay?
He said, like, fine, keep your shoes on.
Fine. You skinned and you plotted. Wear your shoes. We'll just shine the shoes. Cathy continued by stating it doesn't have to be shining shoes. It could be a hug, too, or anything that expresses a kind heart. Yes, get some of them coronaviruses on us. Ooh. You know, our people love that. Whether they got tennis shoes on or not. Maybe they got sandals on. It really doesn't matter. Oh, he really thought about this. This is like a Joe Biden level of awkward thought. He's just like, you should probably not be saying this out loud.
Mm-mm.
But there's a time in which we need to have some personal action here. Maybe we need to give them a hug too. So any expression of a contrite heart, of a sense of humility, a sense of shame, a sense of embarrassment begat with an apologetic heart, I think that's what our world needs to hear today. He even shared his own experience, revealing a time when he gave around 1,500 shoe shine brushes to a Chick-fil-A staff in the past. About 1,500.
How long Chick-fil-A been around? They give you chicken sandwich and shine in your shoes too?
Well, he said he gave it to the employees, right? He gave.
Yeah. So that's what I'm saying. How long they been around?
Mm-hmm. I bought about 1,500 of these shoe shine brushes and I gave them all to our Chick-fil-A operators and staff a number of years ago. He says he got the idea after he recently heard about some fed up with racism shining the shoes of elderly black men at a church in Texas. Though multiple Chick-fil-A stores have been looted recently amid protests following the death of George Floyd, Kathy urges white people to not be angry with looting and see it as a criminal, but to instead understand our frustration. There's been about a dozen Chick-fil-A restaurants vandalized in the last week, but my plea would be for the white people, rather than point fingers at that kind of criminal effort, would be to see the level of frustration and exasperation and almost a sense of hopelessness that exists on some of these activists within the African-American community, added. Okay, now see, that one I didn't see coming. I was really prepared to clown.
This turned left. Like, literally turned left.
I wasn't expecting Dan Cathy to sincerely understand the frustration of black America. Well, I mean, he's coming to cookout is the bare minimum gets in this year.
Yeah,
but
it's
funny. I don't even have to choose a different song.
Go ahead and use your left hand.
Everybody, get your shoe shine brushes and get to the dance floor.
Yes.
Uncle Carlo, bring your Stacey Adams. We about to get fresh.
Yeah. All the pimps and players over there in section number 2, they gonna be shoe shining.
You don't gotta say thank you. They gonna say my pleasure.
I pull up at the club, VIP, gas tank on E, but all drinks on me. Fight me down. Fresh kicks, fresh white tall tees, fresh NFL hats, fresh.
They bought their own brushes too, y'all.
Fight me down.
Pussy niggas wanna hit me with the heat.
Yeah, the bare minimum.
I mean, we know that. He was getting in as soon as I said his name, but my God, that man said, shine some shoes.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all gonna let him shine y'all shoes out there, black people? Y'all have to be walking down the street. Dan Cathy said, shine
his ass shoes.
A black person's shoes. I just go.
They don't even have shoe sign stations no more. At least I don't think that. If they're around, they rare.
Right. My goodness. That is amazing. Love to hear it. All right, let's see. Target, U.S. Bank, and Best Buy.
Okay. All three?
To observe Juneteenth holiday.
Come on through.
I'm telling you, we should have burned things much sooner. I'm sorry. I was wrong. Should have been burning things. We started burning shit. They was like, you know what, y'all? Have Juneteenth off. It's really our fault. Okay, please don't burn nothing else down. I feel like that's what they said. Please don't burn nothing else down. You can have Saturday off. You don't have to come to work.
We are fine with that.
just relax. Yeah, Minnesota-based companies Target, U.S. Bank, and Best Buy are both officially recognizing Juneteenth as a company holiday. Target officials wrote in a statement that the company is standing with black families, communities, and team members and creating lasting change around racial justice and equality. We're building on a strong foundation of diversity and inclusion and taking action to do more, from forming an internal action committee to guide Target's path forward to committing $10 million to advance social justice and support rebuilding and recovery efforts in local communities. What if all the money went to rebuilding Targets? That was like rebuilding Targets and Best Buys and local communities. It's time to rebuild, y'all. We just trying to help y'all out. What if that's what is really going on?
I know Target had a $15 minimum wage and they doing this.
Right? They was feeling it, man. While all the stores and distribution centers will remain open, hourly team members who work on June 19 will be paid time and a half. All eligible Target team members have the option to take the day off with full pay. Headquarters offices will be closed in observance. So some blacks will be working, just depending on what department.
I'll take that time and a half.
Mm-hmm. U.S. Bank also announced it will close its offices and branches at 1 p.m. on Friday for Juneteenth. The events of the past few weeks have changed the conversation and added a sense of urgency that has motivated more people across the globe to act to address social injustice. That begins with acknowledging our rich and diverse history, said U.S. Bank CEO Andy Cecere in a statement. We are encouraging our employees to use this time to serve in our communities committed to inclusion and advocacy, or simply educate themselves on this very important topic. Best Buy also said it will shorten its hours on Election Day and will celebrate Juneteenth by giving all its employees a paid volunteer day. Starting next year, Juneteenth will become a formal paid company holiday.
Come on through.
Damn. That is, that's amazing. I had to give them credit, you know. Shout out to all them employees.
Mm-hmm.
That's gonna be getting this bread. Come on down.
Hey, don't forget to get your Target gift card so y'all can go shopping. Best Buy got the electronics, y'all. Hey, don't forget to go by the bank before they close that one. Open up your bank account.
Living it up in the city. Got Chucks on with Saint Laurent. Gotta kiss myself, I'm so pretty. I'm too hot, hot damn. Call the police and the fireman. I'm too hot, hot damn. Make a dragon wanna retire, man. I'm too hot, hot damn.
Say my name. Boy, these big screens they got on are good for the Negroes and the Bat Boy. You can see clear on that 8K TV.
Mm-hmm. They bringing all the flat screens, all the flat screens, all the Rokus to the cookout.
Come on.
We're going to be watching the sports leagues with no fans at the cookout.
We sure is. Crystal clear.
Last one, y'all. Uncle Ben's and Mrs. Butterworth follow Aunt Jemima, phasing out racial stereotypes in logos. Uncle Ben's owner, Mars, is planning to change the rice maker's brand identity, one of several food companies planning to overhaul logos and packaging that have been long criticized for perpetuating harmful racial stereotypes. In a statement on his website Wednesday, Mars wrote that now is the time to evolve the Uncle Ben's brand, including its visual brand identity, which we will do. We don't yet know what the exact changes and timing will be, but we are evaluating all possibilities. But they changed the shit before they even got a plan. They just take it off. They coming to burn it.
Mm-hmm. They're like, one down. We next.
I just feel like they look outside. Oh, the niggas got torches. Ain't no Uncle Ben's. Rip it off the door. Rip it off the turn, paint over everything. Here they come.
Mm.
Early on Wednesday, Quaker Oats announced it's retiring the 130-year-old Aunt Jemima brand and logo.
I didn't realize that had been around right. So long.
No person is as old as the logo. That's crazy. As we work to make progress towards racial equality through several initiatives, we also must take a hard look at our portfolio of brands and ensure they reflect our values and meet our customers' expectations, the Pepsi-owned company said in a statement. And Conagra, which sounds like a racial slur.
If you don't say it right, yes, sir.
A Conagra was trying on my push the other day. I said,
I don't
get
know
off
why
here.
That Conagra came my way. Mm-mm.
You Conagras ain't from around here, are you?
Mm-mm. I said, get on out of here. Get out of here, you Conagras.
Conagra, which yes. makes Mrs. Butterworth syrup, said it would conduct a complete brand packaging review. They know that it can see that our packaging may be interpreted as what in a way that is wholly inconsistent with our values.
Y'all been getting criticized for that forever.
I'm gonna miss Miss Butterworth. Okay, I won't miss Aunt Jemima. Miss Butterworth was thick. Them bottles. Okay.
Oh, that's pancake lady, ain't it? Yes.
Yeah. That's her. I like that syrup like I like my women. Dark and thick and curvy. Okay.
You like them sticky icky.
And just filling me up, you know what I mean?
Sweet to the taste.
The moves are an acknowledgement of I like that Conagra's syrup, if you know what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
The moves are acknowledging the brand's origins and racist stereotypes, a consideration brought to... I hope niggas don't go too far. They take Famous Amos off his cookies and shit. Like... take him off. It's like, no, this is different. He made the cookie. It's really his.
Like, this is mm-mm. really his. Like, he created it. It's black. No. It's black owned. It's the shit that y'all say y'all want.
We will burn these cookies to the fucking ground. No. Take him off of that. And also, who is this nigga on the bottom of these shoes? Take his ass off. Okay? We won't white, put Rick Barry on the bottom of these Jordans. Okay? We are over it.
Man, they're making all the demands.
Anyway, Uncle Ben's, Mrs. Butterworth, and Aunt Jemima, you know they coming to cook out. All these companies gonna make it.
Hey, for you niggas out there, there'll be brunch in the back. You got pancakes, eggs, bacon. We got you covered.
Got some Uncle Ben's rice if you need it. Okay.
No, because we know some of y'all don't like to, you know, might not want the potatoes, so we're giving you rice. They're gonna be rice and gravy in the back.
We got the sugar-free syrup too, because you know some of y'all got the beaties, okay? We got the sugars. We don't want nobody losing the foot over here. Big mama, your arm. So good. Lots of waffles in the morning, headed back to the woods. Now I'm pulling some tick. Got some soul on blast and a cassette. Food for my brain and haven't stopped learning yet. Hot wings for Mojo's, got my forehead sweat. Celery and blue cheese on my menu. We gonna have the people that's named there after.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, this is my Aunt Jemima. Mm-hmm. Uncle Ben. No, not Spider-Man Uncle Ben. The black one. And Mrs. Butterworth, okay? We're gonna do it, of course, living day by day. And you ain't hard trick, hell you say. It's such a blessing with my eyes. Oh, man. Can't wait. It's gonna be so good.
Ain't it, though?
All right. How much time we got? Oh, we over 2 hours. All right, well, look, Jemele Hill is coming tomorrow.
Yes. So
we can play some of these games of her tomorrow.
Yay!
I checked in to make sure we was good, and we are good.
Yay! So
that's tomorrow at 4:30. Let's do Sword Ratchetness and wrap this bad boy up and get ready for all the heated feedback of people saying I hate black women because I think J. Cole and No Name both had different points.
I hope not.
None of it will be addressed to Karen. It'll all be addressed to me.
Oh no, you already know. I talking about Black Lives Matter. My black life don't matter when it comes to feedback a lot of times. They skip right. I could be done said it, but they claim you did.
All right.
A woman? No.
Let's see. Man held and swords examined after Dublin mother of two killed.
Oh.
Gardaí are investigating the murder of a woman at a house in West Dublin and have arrested the chief suspect in the case. The suspect and the female victim were known to each other, and the killing occurred in a woman's family home in the Willowwood area. Around 11 a.m. on Sunday, a number of weapons have been taken from the property.
A number of them, which means several.
Mm-hmm. Including a samurai sword, and they were due to be examined as it was suspected that they were used during the fatal attack. The female victim, who was middle-aged, suffered fatal injuries in the attack inside the house and died at the scene. Her body remained at the house on Sunday afternoon and was to undergo a preliminary investigation in SITU by a pathologist before being removed for a full postmortem.
That's a lot happening.
While the investigation would not be upgraded to a murder inquiry until after the postmortem was completed,
what?
All the resources of a murder investigation were immediately committed to the case.
Yes.
This woman committed suicide by swording herself several places.
Right.
Wow.
That she possibly could even have reached by trying to do it, but we're saying that she did it.
I've never seen a woman stab herself in the chest 37 times, but who knows? We don't want to be judgmental. Let's not say murder yet.
Women are strong too. We don't want to seem sexist.
Die, bitch, die is written on the wall, but it could be. She could be saying it by herself. You know, so let's just see.
Let's see where it takes us.
The woman is originally from West Dublin, has worked in retail, and she was married and had two adult children. The alarm was raised after a person who may have witnessed some of the fatal attack ran to a nearby house where the emergency services were alerted. Who the fuck? How is it just not murder right away?
Oh, so people
have somebody may have witnessed it?
Walking by, heard screaming and stabbing and shit and called you and you like, she.
I don't know if they walked by. They might have been there. It could have been like a relative in the house or something.
Okay.
But they ran to another house and said, hey, this crime is happening. And the police showed up and was like, let's not. Crime? That's a little presumptive.
Let's not jump to conclusions.
let's not assume. What? Mm-mm.
We don't know what really happened.
This must be a place where they had them abolish police. They be saying the right things. Listen, everyone's innocent until proven guilty, so
everybody,
we're just gonna take this one step at a time. When guard I arrived at the scene, the suspect was inside the house. He was arrested after a confrontation involving the police, who forced their way into the property. It is understood a number of less than lethal weapons, including stun grenades, were deployed as they entered the house by force. The suspect, a middle-aged man, sustained a number of injuries after being arrested and was initially taken to the hospital for treatment. A statement from the guard eye headquarters said the man was being detained on Sunday afternoon under Section 4 of the Criminal Justice Act. The house where the killing took place was sealed off immediately when the guard eye arrived and was undergoing an examination by members on the technical bureau. They don't know the motive right now, but they're treating the man as a suspect in the case.
You don't say.
Yeah. All right, y'all, that is it. Thank you for listening. Check us out. I'll be putting up a post soon of all our guest spots, and if you're premium, I will be changing the premium password this week at some point, so pay attention to that. Be on the lookout. Thank you guys for listening.
Thank you.
Until tomorrow with Jemele Hill, I love you
too. Mwah. Mwah.